Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wegner.
And I'm Steve Marks.
Wait a minute, you're not Steve Marks. You're Captain Identity.
All right, I hope that this little trick would have prevented you from getting me, but hey,
excellent.
What can I do?
Well, this week we're joined by Vittorio Bertacci, Principal Technical Evangelist here at Microsoft.
All right.
Steve Marks is still in Vegas, so he's still down in Las Vegas.
And what happens in Vegas?
Stays in Vegas. So, last week was Mix, and this week I think he's down there for Mobile Connections and manning the booth and gave a presentation. So he hasn't joined us, he hasn't come back yet, so Vittorio has graciously decided to join us.
Ta-da!
So, all right, so we've got a good show. As always, we're going to start with the news, and there's a lot of news, especially with Mix having been last week. And then we'll go into our feature, and we got a good tip of the week. So let's get started.
All right,
so the very first thing we wanted to cover is, since Mix was last week, there were a lot of great presentations covering Windows Azure and a lot of other technologies as well. But we wanted to just make sure that you know if you go to live.visitmix.com and then tag Windows Azure, there's a whole lot of presentations to take a look at. So everything from, hey, look at that, Wade Wegner and Karandeep Anand, using App Fabric Caching, and hey, another one, Windows Phone 7 applications and Windows Azure Platform, and a whole bunch of other stuff. We've got stuff on access control. Steve gave some presentations and so forth. So a lot of great presentations for you to take a look at. There's also some blog posts out there on how to use the RSS feed associated with the VisitMix website to plug it into Zune or iTunes or whatever you use and just download all the videos themselves.
The entire thing.
Yeah, so great way to get some access to those videos.
And of course, Wade is shy, but his sessions are very high rated, especially the one on caching. Don't miss it. It's going to be awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you. All right, well, next we've got the new ACS ships.
All right. So, as you know, finally last week we shipped the Access Control Service, the new version with all those awesome features like the federation, the single sign-on with social providers, the new Auth 2.0. And for supporting this launch, we have first, of course, the session that Wade mentioned from Justin on Mix. But we also have a ton of new content here. And here there is this like long-haired guy who blabbered on this there is one blog post basically that we did last week.
It's the blog post on ACS. It's got everything you need,
a lot of stuff, and so yes. Of course I won't bore you with the details, but here we have some of the news. We have one new lab, and we'll talk about training kits later, but one new lab with use ACS and the Windows Phone 7. We have one new extension for Umbraco, which integrates with ACS, so that you, from your Umbraco instance, you just make a couple of right clicks and everything works. And everything is in Codeplex. There is a NuGet that you can just install directly.
Nice.
And there we mention that. Then we have one plugin for WordPress, which the guys from the Access Control Service team wrote, and it's entirely PHP. I have no idea how that works, but it works. And I'm hearing that people are very happy with it.
Nice. And is that is it for logging in and commenting on posts?
It's for logging in.
Okay, excellent. I'll have to take a look at that.
It's very nice. Okay, it has the classic choices.
Nice.
Aaron Smalser is the author. He did a great job.
Nice.
Then we have this My To Do App Fabric. You guys may know already about the My To Do franchise. This is this very basic scenario in which you can wrap your head around this number of features that we have in Windows Azure. And we did one version for App Fabric, and this version, again, in the spirit of a franchise, is very simple. So it's not a behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say behemoth in English?
Behemoth.
Behemoth, perfect. That is a fabric I'm shipping, for example, in which there is everything, but it's like lost in the sheer number of stuff that is in there. Instead, this guy is very, very simple, and it just shows you how you can integrate the sign-in and especially the sign-up. So that if you are, for the first time, using the service, then there is this little procedure which registers your user and shows you how to use Identity Framework for doing that. So it's interesting, and I'd suggest to take a look. Then, of course, there is our good friend, Fabric I'm Shipping.
Which we've talked a lot about in this show, so,
yep, so
excellent scenario.
And then we have a number of videos here. If you had on Channel 9 the ID Element, the other show, in which we talk about Identity Matters, there you'll find those four new videos in which I basically interview members of the ACS team, and they speak about our very specific area. So we have Stewart, who makes the basically the announcement. Then we have Justin, who owned both ACS 1.0 and 2.0, and he basically goes through the idea behind ACS, how they executed on that, touches on the main scenarios. Then we have Caleb that describes in details how the phone works, mm-hmm. which is very interesting part, and also the error management, which is one new thing that we introduced with ACS2. Then Aaron, which we mentioned for the WordPress, he's instead talking about the Homerun discovery and the portal, very important stuff. And then here we have, if like you really like hippies and a strong Italian accent, here you have a free screencast which walk you in details through how to use the ACS extensions for Umbraco.
Awesome.
Then there is a new edition of a guide of claims-based identity from PNP coming. Eugenio, as usual, is doing a fantastic job. And they are adding chapters for Access Control Service and for SharePoint. So they actually, I think that there is already a preview where you can go and see the new samples and the new chapters. Very useful. And then finally, we have a number of live websites where instead of installing the bits that I just described, you can actually just go to the address and play with the bits. So we have one instance of my to-do, we have one instance of ACS extensions for Umbraco, and we have the usual Fabricam shipping, and we have this interesting entry, which is in a multiplayer game completely written in Silverlight. And those guys decided to use the Access Control Service for managing all their identity so that they can focus on a great experience and they don't have to worry about protocols and stuff that only weirdos care about.
That's awesome.
And that's pretty much it. I'm sorry for having
That was fabulous. That was so the most comprehensive news we've ever covered on the show, I think.
Fantastic.
So, awesome. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Great. In addition to the ACS announcement, we also released an update or a refresh to the 1.4 SDK for Windows Azure. And the 1.4 refresh is largely covering the web deploy scenario. So both myself and Ryan Dunn have had blog posts on how to manually set up web deploy since it wasn't supported by the tooling. But with this refresh, the Windows Azure tools for Visual Studio will support web deploy implicitly. And so take a look at this blog post on where to, you know, it'll help you find where to get the updates, the refresh. But we also found a blog post here from the Windows Azure Developer Tools team that walks through in great depth the process for not only installing the refresh, but then also how to get web deploy set up. So take a look at it. One thing we thought we'd do is real quick, we can show you exactly what this looks like. It's really pretty simple. I've already got the refresh installed, so I'm going to go ahead and create a new project and just grab a simple web role. And once it's created, we'll note when I right-click and hit publish on the Windows Azure project right here, publish, there's been an update where you can see now disabled. Here, let me zoom in. Right here, we've got enable web deploy for all web roles. And by default, this is disabled. And the reason it's disabled is it needs to have the RDP RDP credentials already defined. So it gets a couple of things from these RDP credentials. So once I enable RDP, select my certificate. Let me try that again. And then give it some information. Click OK. You now see that this is enabled. So I can go ahead and click enable web deploy. And that's going to, when I actually publish, it's going to embed everything it needs in order to install and set up web deploy on the instances. So that's kind of nice. One caveat with this approach, and this is the same caveat that existed with before when you set this up manually, is web deploy only publishes to an instance, and if that instance ever restarts or gets refreshed or anything happens to it, any of the bits you lay down via web deploy are gone. So this is not a production. This is not a way to deploy production websites. I would strictly use this for dev and QA purposes.
But that's great, because that's the moment in which you really need those changes to get up fast.
Absolutely. Yeah, every time I go to deploy a change, I don't want to have to always wait 10, 11 minutes. So this web deploy, it saves a lot of time. It's a nice feature, but please don't use it for production, because you'll be disappointed. One other thing we wanted to cover is the Windows Azure storage team just blogged on how to use SMB to essentially share a Windows Azure Drive across multiple instances. The Windows Azure Drive, provides you a way to mount an NTFS partition onto your role instance and interact with it just as if it's a drive. The problem, or not the problem, but the caveat is that these drives act the exact same way a physical drive works, in that you can't mount a physical drive in a read-write mode across multiple machines. You can't do that with, you know, physical hardware, and you also can't do it with the Windows Azure drives as well. And so one of the challenges are then is if you have multiple instances, only one has read-write to the drive and everything else is just read. And so how do you support read-write operations to, you know, an NTFS partition across multiple? Well, what this blog post does is it shows a proof of concept. And I believe it is a proof of concept. You might want to dig into the details. But using SMB as a way to mount a network drive across multiple role instances. And so now you've still got it set up so it's read-write in one role instance, but it's shared and then mounted across multiple instances. So you can write to those shares. And so it's a great blog post. They walk through everything, and they essentially give you the entire solution for prototyping and trying this out. So worth looking at. I think it might unblock some folks and provide some interesting opportunities. So worth taking a look at.
That's a great trick.
All right. And then our last two announcements, Vittorio.
All right. So as we mentioned before, we have a new set of training kits, and this guy that you see here in the background is the Identity Training Kit, and basically all the news revolve around the new SDK for Windows Azure, and we updated all the labs that touch Windows Azure to use the new SDK, and of course, ACS. And for ACS, we introduced the new lab, the one that we just mentioned about using the phone, and then we updated everything else to use the production bits. Production bits, which I remind you can happily use absolutely free of charge until the end of the month. Of the year.
Of the year.
it's
even better.
Longer. And also, another news there is that we cut the labs for ACS 1.0. Also, because mainly ACS 2.0 is a superset of 1.0,
yep.
So there's more stuff.
Yep.
And so keeping the 1.0, like we did, it didn't seem like it was useful. And another thing that I would mention here is if you want to see the new features of 2.0, you have to create new namespaces. Your existing namespaces are tied to 1.0, which exists in parallel with 2.0. So if you want to see the new features, just create a new namespace, and all the labs that you have here will help you do that.
Great. Excellent. And in a similar line, the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit has also been updated. So in addition to the hands-on labs that Vittoria mentioned, we also have a couple of new ones. In particular, I wanted to highlight the Windows Azure Traffic Manager. So the Windows Azure Traffic Manager was a new service announced last week at MIX that essentially gives you the ability to globally route traffic intelligently via DNS. Very neat thing. So think of it as load balancing across data centers. There's a number of different policies you can define. You can make it performance-based. You can make it based on failover, I believe, and some other things as well, like round robin. So there's different policies that you can use in order to route your traffic globally. And this Windows Azure Traffic Manager lab walks through all the different options. So it's a great lab. And then we also introduced the SQL Azure Reporting Services lab as well. So take a look at those two great resources. And we've provided a number of other updates based on newly shipping bits and so forth. So. All right, that was a lot of news. Like I said, there was a lot happened last week, so
yeah.
There was a lot to cover. And with that, we want to turn to our feature. And in the MIX keynote, Niels from Embraco came on stage and talked about this new Windows Azure Accelerator from Embraco that they've built. And essentially, it provides a way to very easily and quickly get an Embraco site up and running up in Windows Azure. And so what we thought we'd do is walk through this pretty quickly, or at least we'll try to make it quick, and show exactly how to get this started, because it's a pretty neat accelerator, and it shows a lot of really neat ways in which to move beyond the traditional method of deploying and publishing applications to Windows Azure. So to get started, go ahead and come here to waacceleratorembraco.codeplex.com and click the downloads, and you'll go ahead and grab this self-executing package. So I'm going to go ahead and save this. And should take a few moments. This is very typical of the types of toolkits and resources that our team ends up building, in that it's a self-extracting executable. Go ahead and run it, accept the terms, and it's going to unpack itself onto the disk. From here, go ahead and open up this Start Here page. And really, I know not a lot of people like to go through the documentation, but take a few moments to read it. It provides a lot of the context on how things work. And then also, it's got a nice script for getting started that you can walk through, serially, just walk through it all and get everything up and running. The very first step is to create a new storage account. Now, I've already got a storage account created. So here I've got Embraco Excel. So I'm going to go ahead and leverage that storage account. And I'll follow the rest of the steps here. Essentially, I'm going to grab the access key from the storage account. Go ahead and copy that to my clipboard. And then I'll come back here, go to the accelerator bits, and I'll go ahead and start the process. Now, what this is this is similar to some of the other kits we've produced, like BidNow, and does My To-Do do something similar?
Yes,
there's
it
been
does.
A couple where we'll walk you through the process of gathering all of the information needed in order to successfully deploy this, and this wizard makes it nice and easy. So the first step is saying enter your storage account name. So I'm going to say Embraco Excel, and then paste the key. So I'm going to go ahead and paste that in, hit enter. Now the next step is to create a package of the Embraco Accelerator application. And I'll explain why we first entered the storage account key before we generate the package. So if I come back here to the Embraco Accelerator and look at code, here's the Embraco Accelerator solution that we're going to work with. I'm going to go ahead and open that up. Now the reason the very first step was to add the storage account name and the storage account key is that process, that wizard, has updated our service configuration file to include that information. So if I take a look here, you'll see, let me scroll over, right here, the Embraco, goodness, my keyboard is not, there we go. Right here you'll see account name Embraco Accelerator, and then also here's my key. And so what that wizard did is it updated the definition file, or the configuration file, to include that information for us. Now that that's included, we'll just go ahead and right-click and say publish and create a package. Rather than deploying directly to the portal, we'll just create a service package. This is going to create the CSPKG file and embed the service definition as well. And in a moment when that completes, you'll see here's the information created. I'm going to grab that path and then come back here to the portal, wherever the portal is. Let's see, there it is. Now from here, I'm going to go to my hosted service, and I already have an Embraco site, so just create a site that you want to use, and I'm going to say a new production deployment. Go ahead and call this V1. Browse local to the resource. Grab the package. Grab the config file, and go ahead and deploy. And so what this is doing is it's just taking the raw package. The only thing that's been modified in the package is just updating it to include our storage account name. And that's important. Everything else we've left untouched, so you don't have to modify anything. I certainly do encourage you to take a look, because as you'll see when we get into later, there's a lot of really interesting work being done here in the webroll.cs file. So this is not stuff that you need to modify or manage or make any changes to. So we're going to go ahead and let that deploy. It's going to take a few minutes, it'll eventually be up and running. We'll be able to come back to it. Now, if we come back to this wizard, once we've got the package updated, we can enter some additional information. The next thing it's going to ask us to do is enter our database information name. Now, Embraco uses SQL Server locally, and it also works with SQL Azure. And so what this is doing is asking us to provide the information for our SQL Azure database server so that the wizard can script out all the database information needed to run Embraco. And so what I'm going to do is say, yes, let's start with a clean database, and then it's going to ask me for my database server name. So I'll come back to the portal and come here to my account, and here you'll see this is my database server name. So I'm going to go ahead and type Y1KJ8JVY3. I think I got that correct. And I'm going to put a database name, and I'm going to enter. Oops. All right. Well, I guess my database name is going to be called W. Wegner for Embraco.
That makes a lot of sense.
All right. So my Embraco database, you should probably call it Embraco DB or something like that. If you want to call it your alias, by all means, go ahead. I got ahead of myself. So yeah, that was supposed to be the database name. I'm not going to go back and try to change that. Then enter your username. And so this is my DB owner username, and your password. Now, unfortunately, this is clear case, so
yes,
hopefully...
we'll know your password now.
You know my password, but I'm going to ask Bob to do some magic and hide it, some
right.
obfuscation. So
I'm scared to see what he will do for
hopefully,
doing
it. Yeah, exactly. So enter my password, and what this is doing is it's created the Embraco W. Wegner database, and it's scripting out all the SQL objects needed to run Embraco. This takes a few moments. We'll get it out there and running. And when it completes, we'll enter some additional information. So really, this is creating and importing all the data needed to drive the Embraco sites. All right, now the next step is to actually download the Embraco package itself. So download Embraco. So if you go to, let's go back to here, I believe it's embraco.codeplex.com. And if you go to downloads, yep, agree. And, so download, automatically download. I'm going to go ahead and cancel that to make sure I get the right one. Let's come here to downloads tab, and I want to get the binaries. Click that for download, and go ahead and save it. Let's save it to the same place. Kits. Should take a moment. And then what I'm going to do is unpack it. So come here. Here's the zip. Just go ahead and extract all of this into the folder. And so these are all the Embraco, these are all the, you know, web, the ASPX pages, all the HTML, everything needed to actually run the Embraco website. And you can see here under build, there's the information. So I've got that unpacked. Next step is, where is the path that you extracted it? So I'll just grab this here, go ahead and paste it. One thing to note, you do need that trailing slash there, so don't forget to add it, and hit enter. And now what we're going to do is start provide some additional information. So here it wants to have a session state database for Embraco. This is important because by default we deployed two instances of the Embraco so that we have some SLAs, and we don't want to use the default in proc session state management because then we're going to have inconsistent state across the instances. You could certainly use the new Windows Azure App Fabric caching service as well for this. By default though, it uses the session state with SQL Azure. So this time I'm going to say, give it a real name, Embraco DB session state, hit enter, and it still has the admin password for the database server, so it's able to create all of that. And then the last step is, do you want to upload an Embraco site? And essentially what this means is the actual Embraco bits, what runs Embraco, are we ready to deploy that to our site? And I'm going to say yes. Now And it's going to ask me for what do I want to call that. I'm going to call that, give that a name, a name of embraco.wadewegner.com. And this is important because what we're doing here with this tool is we're going to deploy all of the Embraco bits to a storage account. And then our instance, which is running that WebRoll CS, is going to look into that storage account, grab our site that's defined by that host header name, embraco.wadewegner.com, and create a new site in IIS, set it up for the host header tag of embraco.wadewegner.com, and I'll be able to start browsing to that location using that host header value. So everything should be pre-configured. You can see here's the host header name. Here's the path to all the contents, the Embraco bits. Here's my storage account name, my key. I'm just going to go ahead and click upload. And so what this is doing is it's uploading all these files. In fact, I can open Cloud Explorer here, and I've already got Embraco Accelerator. We can take a look at what it's doing. And you can see, if I start refreshing, it's created a sites container, and in there, embraco.wadewegner.com. And go ahead and refresh this. You're going to see all these bits are just getting uploaded right up to it. And by convention, our web role, which we started a few moments ago, when it's spun up, it's going to start checking this sites container for something like embraco.wadewegner.com. When it sees it, it'll grab it, deploy it in the instance, get it set up and running with that host header name, and then manage it. And one of the neat parts of this is the code in that webroll.cs file is able to take new deployments. So if I repackage this and deploy it with some updates, it can grab the updated files and deploy them. And then also, since Embraco is a CMS, I can update pages and elements from the website. And when I make those changes, That webroll.cs code is smart enough to take the change made locally, synchronize it back to blob storage, and then the other role instances will pick up those updates and make it seamless. So it provides awesome synchronization of files across as well. So this takes a few moments. So I think what we'll do, since this still needs to deploy and our role instance is probably still starting, we're going to take a magical break and we'll come back as soon as it's completed. And we're back. All right, so our site has finished uploading. So go ahead and click OK, and we'll close this. And then also our role instance has started. So the CSPKG and the config files were uploaded successfully. You see I've got two role instances. And what these have done is these role instances in the webroll.cs, since the role entry point gets called, it's monitoring our storage account and all the bits we just uploaded. It's grabbed, pulled in, and set up a site. So theoretically, if we come here to embracoexcel.cloudapp.net, we'll open that up, and we should see, yep, so here's the Windows Azure Accelerator from Embraco. So that's been set up in the default web instance, so that's good. And what we'll do now is, since I had already set up a CNAME for embraco.wadewagner.com to point to embracoexcel.cloudapp.net, when we open this up, we should see the getting started welcome to Embraco installation. So
fantastic.
That's great. So let's get started. I will go ahead and click the nice big orange button. We'll accept the licensing terms. Now notice it skipped database, and that's because as part of that console wizard, we've already configured and set up the database.
Yep.
So there's nothing we need to do here. I'm going to go ahead and I'll put some real information in here. Except for a password. Password is weak. I'm okay with it. Go ahead and click Create User. And then we'll set the starter kit. In this case, let's do a blog. It's going to install the blog. And I believe the next thing I'll do is select the theme.
Skin, yeah.
The skin, yep. All right.
It should work as well.
Let's do this. Click that one. All right. And so we've got the theme. Let's go ahead and quickly preview the website. We should get the default experience based on the theme we've installed. We'll let that load for a moment. And while that's doing it, let's also just click this to set up your new website. So we'll get the administrative view. So here you can see, here's where I can manage. This is the default Embraco administrative tool. I can manage all my pages, the content, etc. And here is the default blog. Here, let's name it, say, Wade Wegner. I don't know. Choose a theme.
Wow,
nice.
Dark.
I like that.
Now, who is a hero? There's the OK.
There's the OK. Yeah. Looks like skin updated. Let's go ahead and refresh this. And so we've got Embraco up and running, up in Windows Azure. So that's pretty cool. And running multiple instances. So we've got the SLAs. We've got failover. It's synchronizing updates across the instances. So pretty neat.
That's awesome because this is a true PaaS thing.
Yes.
Because now the deployment is just one of the APIs that you call, basically.
Yep.
You don't even know that there is a machine on the other side.
Yep. And there's even more you can do. I mean, the fact that you can see here, we've just got embraco.wadewagner.com. If I wanted to, I could go back to that deployment tool, and I could create cms.wadewagner.com, upload it to this folder, and it would create another site within IIS hosting the same files. But this time, the host header would be for cms.wadewagner.com. So now I've got two Embraco installations in the same set of role instances. So that's pretty neat as well.
It's very nice.
So excellent. All right. So the last thing I think we wanted to cover is the access control extensions. So if you wanted to very quickly mention what this can do to even make this experience better.
Absolutely. So the access control services extension for Embraco is substantially a NuGet package that you can add to your Embraco installation, regardless of if you run it in Windows Azure in the accelerator, or if you have a code file in which you run it wherever you want. And substantially, this NuGet adds one step to these orange setup pages that you have seen, which helps you to configure a namespace in ACS, which may be empty, like you may all do all the configuration through the extensions. And substantially, it uses that namespace for handling your authentication needs. And it also extends the administrative UI that the way they've just shown with specific elements which allow you to integrate in your management experience those new capabilities. So, for example, you can create rule mappings in which if users are coming from an ADFS, one business identity provider, they can say, I want to map those claims to those Embraco member groups. So your existing workflows, your existing groups, whatever you already have in your instance can be reused in this respect. And we also added this invitation system in which if you want to add users, invite users using their emails from social providers, Again, this is completely integrated in Vumbrac. Right-click, create user, create member, and everything happens automatically.
Awesome. Great. That's great. So you can get this here at umbracoacsextensions.codeplex.com.
Yep.
So awesome. Take a look. And with that, I think it's time for our tip of the week. Bob, I think it's got to be something about Mr. Marks being in Vegas. I mean, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So
unless you're on cloud cover. Yeah.
So I'd love to know what Steve's been doing. So hopefully Bob can share some of that for us for this week's tip of the week. So with that, here's your tip of the week. All right, and we're back. I think that's probably a pretty good tip. So I'm looking forward to, or at least the introduction to it should be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, we hope so. So here there is the tip of this week, which of course is ACS related.
Yep.
I'm sorry for
no,
being,
no.
So.
We're happy.
And the access control service 2.0 introduced back a management part. In the 1.0, you had just APIs based on our data, very handy, but we heard loud and clear that people wanted a portal. So we have a portal that you can see here from where you can do basically anything you want. And however, the portal is designed to be like classic interaction, so you won't use it for bulk operations when you really have a lot of stuff, because that's just not designed to do that. And so for that, you have the APIs. But what if you want to do something quick, like you don't want to set up everything up? So the fact that our APIs are based on data allow you to use existing tools for playing just with that. So here we have this Sesame data browser made by Fabrice Morgery. I'm hoping I didn't butcher the surname in that case. I apologize. This little tool is really, really great. And it offers this Sesame data browser, which substantially is a generic OData browser that you can use for interacting with any data source.
Cool.
And you can also install it not just in the browser, but as an out-of-browser application, which in fact I have here. And here I'm showing one example of using this for the ACS, but in reality you can use it for any source, like as you can see in this area. You have your anonymous access, you can use it with Windows Azure, you can use it directly with SQL Azure since it exposes an endpoint exactly using OData. And in our case, if you want to do it with ACS, you just pick the SQL Azure case, you give the address of the management service here, you give a name, here there's the secret key, which of course it's secret, so I won't show you, and here there's the endpoint that you want to use, which substantially is the wrap online endpoint of your namespace, which is the management API substantially. And here I already have one connection ready, and it's exactly the same connection. I just added the secret key that I don't want to show you because I'm greedy. And here you can see all the list of the various items, of the various entities, which constitute the data model of the access control service. So this is a great learning tool first if you want to get a feeling of what's inside. Like, for example, let's take a look at here the list of the various identity providers. And by the way, here I'm pointing to the Umbraco instance that you have in the public website if you want to play with the ACS extensions. And here I can see my list of identity provider, the endpoint types, and similar. But you can also use it for like more advanced purposes. Like, for example, here let's go and take a look at my list of rules. Here there are all the rules that I have in my system. And here, of course, the resolution is not exceptionally high, but let me just make it slightly smaller. And here I have all the various details. And in this case, I have a decent number of rules. Like, this is not crazy, but imagine that I have thousands of them. And let's say that I'm interested only in the rules that have to do with a name claim. Since this is a data, I can happily go here, pick on the toggle for the filter, go, for example, in the input claim type name, go on my filter here, and say something like contains.
Nice.
At this point, the system is going to make the query, and now I have just the list of all the rules that have to do with the name claim.
That's very handy.
And of course, here, like, this is just the most simple example that came to mind, but you can do any combination. But, like, this is a data, so you have complete freedom of playing with this data.
Excellent. That's a great tool. So thank you for the tip.
Well, that's my pleasure.
All right. Well, thanks for joining this week. If you have any feedback or questions that you want to ask, please feel free to address them via our Twitter alias, @CloudCoverShow. And with that, thank you very much. Thank you, Vittorio, for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
Steve, we will see you when you return from Vegas, and we'll see you next time.